are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Friday, October 6, 2017. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. It's Casual Friday, folks. You know what that means. It means it's Friday and we're casual. And joining us on the program today, Cliff Schechter from... here, he may be in studio, hopefully, if he finds his way over there. Also on the program today, maybe Judy Gold. I don't know. She's very, she's being cagey. She thinks she'll be here. Maybe she'll be on.
What percentage are we talking about?
I feel like it could be 95% sure that she's here.
Oh.
Or it could be like 2% chance she's going to be here.
So 60, 50.
I don't know.
Okay.
Meanwhile, when we talk about percentages, for Trump's addled brain, folks, this is the calm before who knows what. Meanwhile, Tillerson is on a knife's edge as Trump set to explode the Iran deal. Chief of Staff John Kelly's cell phone was apparently compromised. Eh. Trump nominates a coal lobbyist as EPA's number two. And the Trump administration is in a full-on assault on the Affordable Care Act. They are going to repeal de facto and replace, maybe. And it turns out Harvey Weinstein is a predatory scumbag. Who knew?
I feel like a lot of people had that sense.
House passes a budget en route to cutting rich people's taxes. And it looks like the Steele dossier is looking even more credible.
Hey, girls.
There's a tape. There's a tape. All I can tell you is there's a tape. All this and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. It is Casual Friday. Thank you for joining us. If this is the first time that you've joined us this week, we have won our fifth Best News in Politics Podcast Award at podcastaward.com. And you know it's prestigious because they have their own website. It's not... we didn't win it from podcastaward2.com or theofficialpodcastaward.com. No, podcastaward.com.
The official award.
Which happens to be the podcast. Official. But I'm just saying, their URL doesn't
I understand.
Games.
There's
it's not like there's no game.
No game.
So we won our fifth one, I think.
The era of the pajama boy is over.
Thought that was coming from me. I thought that was coming from me, and I was like, "Oh my God, is that what? Oh, that's what it is."
Do you remember the drop you did one time, Matt, when I was promoting voting for the podcast awards for like the umpteenth time, and you did the Bernie like, "I don't want to beat a dead horse here."
So thank you to those folks who have voted for that. So last night. I mean, I feel like I tell the same story all the time, but I figured something out last night. So when Nikki is away, Saul comes into my room. Well, he comes into our room all the time anyways, but usually I don't have to deal with as much because he's not terribly interested in me. I'm second choice. I'm like a distant second choice. So he comes in, and the thing is, he usually kicks me or somehow he wants maybe to cuddle with me. And I have figured out now that I can actually switch out a three-quarter length, you know, one of those long pillows for me, and he's happier with it. He can kick it and he can grab onto it. And then what I do is I sneak out of my bed and go sleep on his bed because, frankly, he's got the best house, best bed in the house. And, of course, it's his Casper. It's an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. Try Casper for, this is my favorite part about this whole deal, and I think a lot of other companies have started this, but it was so successful for Casper. 100 nights risk-free in your own home. 100 nights sleeping on a mattress. Folks, if you can't figure out what mattress you want to be on just in 60 days, 60 nights, I think you got some deep-seated issues. But 100 nights, my God. If you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. They have free shipping and returns to U.S. and Canada. They have over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars. I don't know why it's not 4.95, frankly. Totally, I had to be totally honest. I imagine like a 0.1 of that non-4.9 stars as opposed to 4.8 stars is like people going like, I really need like 122 days to determine if I like a mattress. It's quickly becoming the internet's favorite mattress. And so here's the deal. They deliver it directly to your door, free of shipping. Free shipping. You get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/majority and use the offer code majority. That's $50 off any mattress you purchase. They've got all the sizes. I don't think I've enjoyed sleeping on, what do they call the small ones? Twins, right? Mm. A twin mattress. Mm-hmm. In the 20 years prior to Saul getting his. I don't know why we got him that one. Well, he needed it because he was getting out of his crib. That's why.
Because you're a decent parent.
No.
Okay.
Like I say, it just worked out that way.
At least you have an honest self-assessment there. Okay.
Casper.com/majority. Use the offer code majority. You get $50 off. Check it out now. Terms and conditions apply. All right. Let's just play. I want to play this clip because this is what everybody's talking about. Milo. Well, yeah, let's play the Milo thing. And then we'll play the ominous Trump quote later. But so their big story in BuzzFeed, we're working on getting the reporter of this piece. It's a really important piece that talks about the relationship between Breitbart and essentially their point person. Remember when Bannon said, "We are the platform for the alt-right." It's a very important piece, which really sort of lays out the nexus between the Milos and the Breitbarts and the self-proclaimed neo-Nazis and white supremacists. And it's a fascinating piece. It also, if you look at the construction of the way that people like Milo kept them sort of at bay in public, or Peter Thiel, the way they keep them at bay in public, you start to understand where folks like Sam Harris and Dave Rubin fit on this spectrum. I'm not saying they're in cahoots with them or they talk to them. I don't know. But you can see where these things are on the spectrum. And, you know, people love to talk about the slippery slope when it comes to like, oh, what if these college kids who are there for 3 or 4 years protest because they don't want so-and-so to come and speak? The slippery slope. I honestly, I don't know where the slippery slope goes from there. But you can definitely see a slippery slope when you start with people who try to intellectualize anti-Muslim bigotry. And they talk about like these things, we need to discuss these things, and how it just sort of slides into this. This piece really sort of examines that. This video that was part of the piece is sort of where, I guess, the slope meets the plateau, right? And that's where Milo, in a bar, I'm not sure where, is this in Dallas?
He identified it just as a Texas bar,
okay,
as I recall.
I think I see the words Dallas behind it, yeah, that thing. But it's a Texas bar.
He's in Texas.
Milo is dressed in a casual summer dinner attire. And he is doing karaoke. He's singing, what is it, God Bless America? America the Beautiful, right. And to a bar full of his pals, many of whom appear to be neo-Nazis, based upon the neo-Nazi salute they give while he's singing this song.
Purple mountains, majesty, among the fruited lay. America, America, God shed his grace on me.
He's going to do that twice. He does not want to get off. This is as they're all Zieg Heiling. And now here is, and Michael, hope you send this to Matt too. Milo Yiannopoulos responds to this on the Twitters. And understand Milo has since been sort of, I don't know if excommunicated is the right word. In fact, not really. We can see from this piece that he was fired from Breitbart after some tapes about his perspective on pedophilia came out. But we can also see from that piece that he was walked over by Breitbart people into the Mercer's home, essentially, where he figured out what his next venture was going to be and how they were going to fund it. So here is Milo Yiannopoulos's statement. People know or have seen from my squinting during public speeches in a dark bar, I did not see these hand gestures. If I had realized white nationalist losers were hailing me as their leader, I'd have immediately walked off stage. Now, the fact of the matter is he probably did walk off stage after he finished his multiple repetitions of the final line of the thing, right? He didn't even, from C to signing C, he did it like three times as they were hailing him. But now, to be fair to those white nationalist losers, maybe they weren't hailing him as a leader. They were just hailing, you know, the spirit of Hitler. And maybe that's Milo's out there that he knows. Because Milo clearly knew that they were there. It's not like Milo was dropped in on a helicopter. He knew those white nationalist losers were there because they came with them to the bar. But the real issue with them is like, oh, I would have been offended that my known friends who are known neo-Nazis actually saluted me with a Zieg Heil. That's where I draw the line. And then he goes on to write in that tweet, I'd have immediately walked off stage. I stand for, as always, race blind nationalism. What does that mean? It's the same thing that Bannon was pushing. We're civic nationalists, not not race or biological nationalists. That's the way that he tries to separate himself from the neo-Nazis and the supposed white supremacists, or I should say a self-proclaimed white supremacist. That's the way they try and delineate it. But that's a pretty thin slice, folks. That's basically, let me tell you why you make that distinction. It's because you know one is problematic and one is slightly less problematic. And in fact, throughout the piece, you can see where when they're writing pieces at Breitbart, you can see the editors go like, this goes a little bit too far into this territory. Not, oh my God, I didn't know you harbored these horrible racist ideas. You're fired. We don't, I can't believe it. I never knew this about you. No, it's like, as your editor, let me suggest that you, we don't do this because this is a little bit off brand for us. Okay. And during the piece, you also see Milo, who clearly associates himself with white supremacists, talk about lean on, and others too, Bannon, lean on him being a gay man as being like sort of the get out of jail, get out of being called the racist or whatnot for free card. And Milo delivers on that in this statement. The last lines are, now, if you'll excuse me, I'm enjoying my honeymoon with my black husband. Now, Milo Yiannopoulos, as he's told us so many times before, had a black boyfriend, and now they are married. And look, certainly I don't have to explain the concept to a civic nationalist, if that's what he wants to call himself, the idea of self-hate, do I? I mean, I can't tell you how many emails or tweets I've got at me, like I'm a self-hating Jew or a self-hating white because I'm a traitor to my race. I don't know what goes through Milo's mind. I do know that he may be married to a, or he is married to a black husband. I think we can find records in the history of like racists who have involved themselves with black people sexually, right? Strom Thurmond.
Right.
I mean, it's not like this doesn't happen.
Well, it's not even like, even more deeply to the whole.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't care what's in Milo's heart. When I say he is a racist, white supremacist, neo-Nazi, it's because of his behavior and who he promotes in society and what his envision for society is. Not who he decides to marry or have sex with and then exploit to try and justify. I mean, some of my best friends are neo-Nazis, so I'm not coming out against neo-Nazis. I mean, honestly, right? That's the construct. Some of my best friends are black. In fact, my husband is black and I'm gay. Where have I heard the idea of someone, of a gay man being married, using that as some type of defense against being a right winger? All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Cliff Schechter will be in studio. We are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Casual Friday. But sometimes to be casual, you have to be formal. And then what happens is you go through form and you pass through function, and then you get to this.
Cliff Schachter, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schachter, Libertas LLC.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Cliff Schachter, and not a normal Cliff Schachter, but an in-studio Cliff Schachter.
That's
right. Oh, you got to...
Can you hear me?
He's not connected to this button, is he?
Oh, hold on. Matt forgot to...
Matt, I think we all knew that this day would come. Where you would have a massive screw up.
Okay, talk right into the microphone.
Here you go.
Hello there.
No, what's going on? No. Line 11.
Try it now.
Hello there.
No.
Four-letter word gesture.
I don't know what happened. It's difficult.
Just plug his into the other input.
Let me translate.
Not 12,
for Cliff.
Into the Kelly's input. Old Kelly's
Republicans
input.
Republicans are stupid. Republicans are dumb. Guns are bad.
I can do Sam's version of the translation for the audibly impaired from Spin City, but I don't think that's PC anymore.
Oh, it's not getting through. Is that cable bad?
That was funny. Go.
Hello.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
He's good?
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You missed my joke about you.
All right, you got to...
What am I going to do?
Put the microphone so that you can actually... Yeah, there you go. Talk into the mic.
Basically eat it?
Yeah, there you go.
Sweet.
Make love to the mic.
Cliffy, welcome to in studio.
Thank you. It's always great to be here. I think it's been a couple months. And this time, for your guys' benefit, I didn't bring my family.
Oh, well, it's always a pleasure to have
you. You have to be like, Mrs. Schachter, you can sit down now and stop checking out everything and pricing it in the studio.
There was a lot of,
that's a lot of equipment.
We had to.
I have a Jewish mother. She'll stand up and check. Wow, how did you guys pull this all together?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a good question.
Look
actually.
In the corner there, 1995. Excellent.
Sam loves that.
I did notice some of your children tried to come out of here with some cables and stuff.
That's right.
Like
my children tried to steal things, which I teach them to do.
I presume to set up unprecedented.
That's right.
Your own podcast. I have
that's
a
right,
feeling
they stole them from here to set up unprecedented the
there
podcast.
You do that.
You must go sign up at iTunes www.unprecedentedpodcast.com.
You use your kid. If you actually use your kids to literally steal equipment from here to set up the podcast, that would be amazing.
Well,
marketing.
I just teach them.
That would actually be how this podcast was born.
Right.
From
Air
equipment
America.
From Air America.
That's the reason they were in so much...
From stealing Air America equipment?
Not stealing.
They were in so much financial troubles, I remember, just because you were sort of carting out some of the materials. From.
I'll tell you what did happen.
Including Mark Green's razor.
I was sent up to North. Right, exactly. I was sent North.
I don't know
I was
know
doing
that
my
story.
Show up in Hudson, New York, for a year or so. And... when we switched owners for the fifth or sixth time, I went down to the tech guys and I was like, do you need that 360 back? I mean, I had a couple of things. Maybe I had like a boom. Maybe right. I had a couple of mics. Not that much, but I had some that was theirs. Some was mine. And I said, do you need that stuff back? And the guys just looked at me like, dude, nobody has a clue what's going on here. If you bring that stuff back, it's just going to be a pain in my butt.
That's right.
And I was like, great.
I know. Do they have like any furniture or
someday,
vehicles you could take?
I and then the best part was I won a lottery. They did a raffle for a massive TV, like not a flat screen. You know, it was back in the day when it was like one of the big ones, but it
right.
was huge.
It had the big back too.
I came
back
in.
They weren't flat. They're
I
like,
won it. I was so psyched.
So you pulled
a
like a, I like to keep the story alive. You pulled a Mike Huckabee in the governor's mansion in Arkansas.
Indeed.
Where you just everything that was not actually nailed to the floor, he apparently carried out.
I tried. They still managed to go out of business owing me literally $30,000.
Really?
Yeah.
That's nice. And I'm sure you were one of many, I'm guessing, right?
I imagine. Wow. I imagine. But I was not, I never made it to the creditors thing because the guy, they were going to get sued by AFTRA, and then they just kept sort of stringing out, and then they just pulled the plug, and then it was too late. But whatever. It doesn't matter.
That was years ago. Mark Green.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah. No, Mark Green was.
Oh, that wasn't his fault. Okay.
No, Mark Green was late.
No, just every.
Can I just say, really, I knew how much you hated Mark Green when I said, who would you vote for, Mike Bloomberg or Mark Green? And you actually were like,
I'd move out of the city.
That was extraordinary. You could just not vote. I mean,
yeah, no, I would move out of the city in that situation if I had to be. Okay, so let's get to this, Cliff. You saw the video we just played of Milo Yiannopoulos swooning. Now, unfortunately,
he's
got to
work
him,
a little bit on
course,
his goose step. Though.
He doesn't know that there are things like called contact lenses that exist or glasses, and so he had no idea that the white supremacists he came into the establishment with were still there and that they were Sieg Heiling him. Otherwise, he would have stormed off that stage, I can tell you right now, because he's married to a black man. And so, but what's fascinating is you can see there's so much in that piece, and we're going to talk about it
really
with the report, but you can see the... There's so much in there about how the right exists and grows. I mean, this is, you know, we've finally gotten to really the sort of the end game, you know, as the sort of like the zeitgeist of the conservative movement has sort of moved into where like there's not even the shame or, you know, that...
Yeah.
Or they're, you know, they've moved past having to be ashamed. Right. They're just on the verge.
You know what happens the first time you have one of those guys on your show. So somebody points out, hey, Sean Hannity had somebody on who had neo-Nazi ties. And they just sort of laugh it off. And like, oh, well, you know, that was a couple years ago and he was drunk. And, you know, when you're drunk, you can't always make out the goose step. And you know what I mean? And then as it goes on, this is the way we always talk about this stuff. The sort of frog and the boiling in the pot thing, which is a terrible metaphor, but by the way, in any case, and it happens slowly, and then they associate a little bit more with neo-Nazis and a little bit more, and before you know it, you know, it's sort of an intermingling, and you don't really know who is who. I can't think of his first name, but he's a nut himself, and he, I think, kind of knows that, Representative Massey from Kentucky, who came out and said, you know, when they kept voting for me and Rand, meaning Rand Paul, I thought that the party was heading libertarian. But I realized after a while, they were just voting for the craziest bastard in the primary. And it happened to, the libertarians happened to be the ones here. But if there had been somebody who had been Nazified, I'm now adding my two cents to it. He didn't say that. So, that's been happening for a long time, which is they're looking for somebody who has the most wacky sort of crazy ideas that assaults the right groups on the left that they don't like. Or really not the left of society.
And, you know, I mean, I remember 10 years ago, probably now, talking about Roy Moore. And I distinctly remember, you know, because at that time there, the left was more cohesive in a lot of respects. And, but I was, on email lists and in conversations and just saw writing of like more, I don't want to say establishment, but more sort of like professional left press, and they would mock the idea of like picking out this state legislator from Iowa who said this crazy thing, or that judge from Alabama who said that crazy thing. And the thing is that not only were they wrong in why that was important to do, and we see this like with like what like the Southern Poverty Law Center does, where they track these things. But B, it also gives a very clear picture. I mean, these are, you know, the idea that Roy Moore, now it's possible Doug Jones could win. If there's ever been an opportunity to steal a seat in Alabama, this would be it.
Yeah.
But Roy Moore, the fact that he's this close and could very well be, if you had to bet.
Let's be honest, he is the favorite. in that race. I think Doug
the fact that this guy is going to sit in as a senator, and frankly, even like a guy like Mike Pence, is, you know, an indictment away from the presidency.
Yeah.
The
guy who's the head of the precursor to this crazy Freedom Caucus, the Conservative Study Committee, which was then considered by, and you can dig up quotes at the time from mainstream members of the Republican Party and from certainly from more moderate members, that this was considered the crazy group.
He was the crazies. He was a right-wing talk radio show host.
That's right. That's where he got his start.
The American Restoration Act was a bill that, let's see, this was the American Sovereignty. No, this is, I'm sorry. There's so many of these.
Ridiculous names. And
the American Restoration Act, I think it was called, was written by Judge Moore with one other guy. And here it is. It was written by Roy Moore. It was the Constitutional, Restoration Act. And it was in 2005. And this is a piece.
We're trying to restore religion to the Constitution? Because that's how it was originally meant?
It is described as a bill, quote, to limit the jurisdiction of federal courts in certain cases and promote federalism. The legislation seeks to make it possible for Congress to remove any judge who refuses to acknowledge that the basis for all law, liberty, and government is God.
And exactly how Thomas Jefferson wrote it.
That was what Matt was saying the other day.
It was, according to Liberty Magazine, designed to reverse nearly 140 years of legal actions to the states whereby religious fundamentalists can have more control over the outcome of decisions. Okay? This was Roy Moore and a guy named Herb Titus, who was the vice presidential nominee of an openly theocratic U.S. Constitution Party.
Oh, yes.
And
are you guys, you're familiar with that party specifically, right?
The U.S. I think there was actually a version.
What was the name of the right-wing nut who was their longtime nominee for, like, for many years? They would nominate him for president. He was part of the original sort of, we trace the origins of the right.
I forget his name, but
not LaRouche. Different guy.
Not LaRouche. I can't remember.
No, Lyndon LaRouche had a cult, but I'm just saying I read about that party a bit, and there are valid comparisons you can make to certain politics in the Middle East, but that was certainly with Republicans.
Well,
fascist parties in Europe, but yeah. That one was like, I mean, that was just the direct analog.
It's driving
there was
me crazy
no cause, distinction.
Because I remember, all the work I did when I was working on a PhD, I eventually, of course, never wrote a dissertation for, because that's how I like to use my time. One of the guys who was in the rise of the right, when you trace it back and you start with sort of the National Review in the mid-50s and you even go through the American Enterprise Institute in the 50s and they start funding CORS, get involved, whatever. This guy, he was, and he's driving me nuts, and I could look it up. But he was a constant nominee and on the Constitution Party. So they've been a part of this sort of nexus for a long time.
Mike Pence was one of the bills, one of the initial sponsors of this bill, including Brownback, Zell Miller, Richard Shelby, Lindsey Graham.
There we are, Howard Phillips.
And
thank you.
This is 10, 12 years ago. And so, you know, this is where these are where these things lead to.
Yeah.
There's, you know, the thing is on the right, maybe this will exist on the left and we'll see it. We'll have a better sense of this 10, 15 years down the road. But the right is very good at piloting programs and then scaling them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they have the apparatus to do it. That's what ALEC is all about. They have other apparatus to do it. And
they have a lot of apparati.
Yes, and they have a lot of money.
Right. Well, their people invest in the long term. Not going to go on a rant. Just going to say, their people invest. Don't invest cycle to cycle. They've been, you know, this Heritage was set. You know, in fact, if you want to look at it, Heritage 1973. You brought up ALEC 1973. You know, I mean, there was a period of time. The 50s were one of them, and then there's this period of time, the early to mid 70s. You find it a little bit later in the 70s. Moral Majority, I think, was 77. NRA takeover by the far right nuts, 1977. Again, you see a lot of this stuff happening where, and this was all being funded by people like the Coors family and the earlier generation of Kochs.
Right.
And I mean, again, this has been a long, so, and what the real problem becomes is, look, we have our fun on this show. We mock these people, and they should be mocked because they're crazy. And it's helped us win Senate seats in the short term, for example, and House seats and others. But people often brought up, you know, when what's her name, the self-proclaimed witch, ran in Delaware, and some of these candidates, Todd Akin, we beat them, but they were the right. The other thing the right's really good at, they do it with culturally with Fox News and other things, but they do it with their candidates, is they move the Overton window. So one minute you're saying, Roy Moore, that guy's nuts, and, you know, he's completely unacceptable. Within 10 years, he actually fits into the Republican Party. Even if he's to the right of it, he fits in.
Do you guys think, I mean, the witch woman would have lost regardless because she's running in Delaware, and that's, you know, more of a Democratic state, and really a kind of extinct Republican, the only kind of Republican that could win there. But do you think in today's environment, an Akin would lose in Missouri, even with those comments?
I'm not sure he would in Missouri. Again, the states do matter because, if you want to jump in, but I'll say quickly, we're talking about Alabama right now. But let's remember, Mike Lee, you know, who is probably just about the most far right wing member of the Senate caucus there, knocked out a more moderate Pat Roberts, right? What was that?
No, William Bennett. Bill,
I'm sorry, not Pat Roberts.
Something
that was,
Bennett.
Yeah, and that was in what, 12, 14?
Yep. 12, and that guy was
Ted Cruz, ultra right-wing.
Right. Yeah.
Ted Cruz ran against the sitting, I think, was it the LG at the time, who was very right-wing and got to the right of him. So what's been happening, really, for the last couple election cycles is in states where they said something so out of bounds, that happened in Indiana, too, where we won that seat after they knocked off Dick Lugar with, what was his name, Murdoch, the treasurer?
Murdoch, yep.
So when they said things that were so far out of bounds, even in states that you would call purplish, you know, red, we were still able to win. And in purplish blue, like Delaware, we carried the day. But in the red states, they've increasingly been stockpiling these loons on the right.
And
because
Trump,
we can't beat them.
Trump doesn't do this much, but I mean, I could see Trump easily making those kind of grotesque statements about rape. Like, hey, when it's rape, you know, you don't have to have an abortion because it shuts it down. I mean, that would have been an applause line at one of his rallies.
So that's exactly the kind of thing he would just say because it popped into his head, or somebody told him the moment before he stepped on stage. Yeah. Exactly.
But the, I mean, there's an interesting study, a Pew Research study that shows that Democrats are moving quickly to the left. Like, we're getting more polarized. Now, I think that it is, I think what this doesn't track is that if you look over the past 20 years, 30 years, you also have the Democrats tracking to the right. Like, it's not like the Republicans have, you know, the Republicans have moved to the right dramatically, but they, but not, let me put it this way. They're not coming from a baseline that had been moved to the left.
That's right.
So if you were to look at a graph of where Democrats have come, I would imagine the rate in which they have moved over the past 20 years, let's call it 25 years, just so we get early 90s, is probably at a rate perhaps that looks faster than Republicans, but that's because their baseline was to the right,
that's right,
of where Democrats have traditionally been. The Democrats took not a hard turn to the right, but certainly a turn to the right in the 70s, 80s, 90s. I mean,
DLC period, there's no doubt.
That was the culmination.
On economics and farm, right. There are earlier groups too. The policy group, I don't remember, the one that...
But Jimmy Carter was also, you know, on some issues.
On economic issues, he had moved somewhat, you know, like, didn't he deregulated trucking, I believe, and some...
Airlines.
Yeah,
Would not get behind universal health care. My understanding, that's why Ted Kennedy challenged him.
Democrats moved away from broad, progressive economic programs to more good government kind of programs. And I'm not saying the good government stuff is bad, but campaign finance reform sort of took the place of... Hey, we need this new social program like universal health care, or we need, and then smaller bore things like let's raise the minimum wage. So the Democratic Party absolutely on the economic front moved to the right and now has been moving steadily back to the left. But it's, you know, so that's a great point. The Republicans, you know, I think you could even argue slowly during the 20th century moved slowly to the right, but there still were a ton of moderates in the 70s and 80s in that party. Ton of Hatfields and John Chafees and people like that who were reasonable Republicans. And it really was in the post-Reagan period it sort of started in some ways, and then after Newt Gingrich in 94, it just blew up and went, you know, to the, because that's when the Republicans really gained a bigger foothold in the South, and that's where a lot of this originally was coming from. And so I would make one more argument that I think is hugely important here, which is the Democrats moving to the left are actually filling a void that hadn't, that was out there, which is they've come closer often on economic issues to embracing policies the majority of the population is for. We just didn't know that because everybody's like, you know, you need to pick David Brooks's position or Roy Moore's position on economics. You know, I mean, you didn't have like this, you didn't have sort of the left position out there. And we all know if you look at polls on a lot of these issues, antitrust issues, minimum wage, all these things in red states, they, when they put them on, you know, on the ballot or when they polled them, they poll incredibly well. So, I mean, that's the thing, is the Democrats are moving in a direction we're calling for, whereas the Republicans are more, through their entertainment complex and other ways, are purposely sort of, let's say, bringing out the worst in people.
Well, they're catering to the worst. Well, they're catering to a smaller group of people who, in some respects, are more fanatical. I mean, that's, you know, that's the, and this comes into, obviously, you know, the situation with guns. I think, and you and I have, obviously, we have crossed this terrain so many times.
Guns are a perfect issue that stands in for that kind of nuttiness that's been going on overall.
Yes,
but on the business interest part, that leverages the nuttiness.
Well, yes.
That's right.
But yes, but in terms of how it plays out electorally, you have an ever increasingly smaller group of people who are increasingly more intense.
That's right.
About that. So, and it's manifested in like, okay, so we have, we've gone from 70% of Americans to owning a gun to 30% of, you would know the numbers.
We went better. From 50 in the 70s, we're now down barely at 30%.
Okay. So, but that 30% owns like five times more guns.
Right.
Than
so half the guns in this country right now are owned by 3% of the country. And, think about that for a second.
And but it is an example of a couple of things. One is that you don't need all the people. You don't even need half the people.
Yeah.
You just need a portion of the people who are willing to throw themselves in front of a bus.
That's right.
For a specific issue. And it also, and with the backing of obviously a huge industry that's making a lot of money that gives you the air cover. But if it weren't for those people,
yeah,
now you may need a lot of money to get those people because you need to create a broader context in the culture where it's like,
you have to make them identify with it so closely, which is, again, that's why I would say some of it where people were already there, but they've been losing people faster than they've been gaining them. But also, you hear these stories, and this woman, again, I've brought this up before, and I don't know why I haven't looked up, put this great documentary together. It was all on, like, how, you know, was it Rush Limbaugh or Fox News had turned her JFK-supporting parents into...
Yes.
So they prey on older, you know, whiter, you know, more rural members of the, you know, of this country who in the past often were Democrats, and even if today they're not fully Democrats and socially they're a little bit conservative, they turn them into lunatics. They pander to their worst fears. If you want to get intensity on your side, what's the best way to do it? Scare them that their universe is coming to an end, or that the black president's going to come knock their door down, take away their guns, marry their daughter. You know, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that you know, that they put out there in the swamps.
You see, there was a really good piece I talked about the other day about NRA TV.
With Dana Loesch and that type of stuff.
I mean, it's even Dana Loesch and that, yeah, but they're going even maybe in some ways even like more overt than Breitbart. And the sort of two takeaways from the article that echo what you're saying that were relevant was one, that the NRA and their branding has always been very astute. Like, it's always tracked different national fads. So like going back to like Great Outdoors and, you know, the hunting culture and to appreciate nature. And then there was the panic in the suburbs about urban crime. And now it's like, it's all just basically about, you know, these demographics that just are going away, basically. And that, just like the Republicans, they didn't, there's a very specific reason, obviously, why they didn't come out and say, hey, Philando Castile, when he was murdered by this cop, was a law-abiding gun owner, and we stand with him.
Right.
They're never going to do anything like that. They're making but it's a parallel to the Republican Party. It's a direct parallel.
I don't know, it's even necessarily a parallel.
It's the same thing, right?
Like there's a tremendous amount of overlap, and it's also, you can see it if you broaden even the perspective, never mind NRA TV, but I would not be shocked to find that some of the gold sellers are also sort of associated because
the gold bugs on the
Yes, because you create an entire worldview that is like
abortion
you need,
fits well into it.
You just create various representations of the apocalypse.
That's right.
That is coming.
And shoot up people's cortisol levels, just like that research from Michigan we were talking about. And then get them in a stress cycle, which breeds more fear and irrationality. It's true.
I mean, it's...
But the thing that's so, and we've talked about this before, the thing that's so disturbing about it is that, we do talk about here, demographics are on our side, which I'd say overall, certainly. But what they've been able to do is with that intensity... So there, people are definitely going to turn out and vote. But on top of voting, they're going to intimidate people on the other side, right? They're willing to use violence. They're willing to use threats. So
they're also willing to get rid of voting rights, right?
Well,
like more
that's
overtly,
a big part
right?
of it
like,
too.
That's a big part of
so
it,
they
right?
found a way to have this intense minority. If we had, and still win elections, because the truth is, if they were being slaughtered in all these elections, if they had lost this presidential election, for example, the way, and we had a Democrat there and they'd lost the House or whatever, but they have found a way that even with appealing to this far right small base and a little bit of a bigger base in their electoral strategy, they have found a way to basically win all levers of government through using every trick in the original Constitution and inventing a couple new tricks.
Oral arguments this week in Gil v. Whitford. Are based upon the fact that in Wisconsin in 2012, the map that drew up allowed Republicans to win 48.5% of the vote and take 60 out of 99 seats in their state Senate. So
ridiculous.
They lost the majority of votes.
Right.
Won two-thirds of the seats.
Right.
And
that's just the worst example. This is in all of these states where I live in Ohio. They've done the same thing there. And I mean, they're representative of, at best, the last election, again, I'd have to look. I mean, they suppressed so many votes in Ohio. You add that in with a little Kremlin stuff and you add that in with Comey's letter and whatever, and you start wondering, if it was basically a regular election in Ohio, which is won by a couple of points in each direction, because that's normally the way it is. We do keep electing Sherrod Brown and other people. And yet, out of a 99-member state house, they have something like 65 members right now. It's not even close to representative, and they've done this. So again, the problem with this strategy for all of us is because of the anti-majoritarian nature of our Constitution to begin with, but then some of the levers they've pulled shamelessly that they wouldn't pull in the past, everything from filibusters to gerrymandering, and this stuff was done, but not to this level.
Well, the gerrymandering, frankly, is just a function of we now have technology that you can... there's gerrymandering and then there's gerrymandering.
Right.
And we now have the technology where you can do it down to, you can predict the voting of the people at, 36, Maple Lane.
Right.
And we're going to have, those people are going to be in this district and the other people are going to be in another district and that's it.
And that's the problem because it hasn't dissuaded them from engaging in this sort of overt Naziistic type politics because they're still winning. The thing that would dissuade them would be if that kind of stuff were costing them the presidency and costing them the way it did in 12 or 10, some of those Senate seats. If they were constantly losing Senate seats.
Even if it was, wouldn't they still, that's still how they have their House majority. Like, I think even if they were losing, I think it's even harder than that.
I don't think this ends with making a decision that we've got to go in a different direction. In fact, I think that has been...
Wouldn't they alienate their core, basically?
Well, I just think that assumption, right, where we saw it with Obama over the years, like, the fever's going to break. They're gonna figure out what's going wrong. They've run... I think that flies in the face of human nature. I don't think, first of all, I don't think there's a they. Like, I don't think there's anybody steering the ship. I think there are a lot of people with somewhat aligned interests that fund money into these endeavors.
Right.
And they...
But that's the key pressure point, because you may never change Milo. Who cares, right? But the Koch brothers, if this strategy was leading to Democratic presidents, Democratic senators, to the point where you don't even need the House, you're putting on judges on the courts who are able to hurt their oil interests, I think they'd stop funding it. I could be wrong.
I think maybe the Koch brothers' kids...
I mean,
maybe. And also now when you think about the Mercers, if you really want to take it down to that personality level, like,
right.
I think the Mercers are not...
They may just be
like,
fascists.
The Kochs, yeah, the Kochs might... Just they seem like they're pure, just
they,
you know, gobble up money.
Right.
That's it. And maybe they ignore. They find some of the Nazis.
True. I think they're also ideologues too.
Yeah.
No, but their ideology
is libertarianism, because it, you know, it mixes nicely with making lots of money.
But I don't think libertarians have a problem with Nazis at all. Which has been pretty historically documented. And well, I think in the Mercer's case, I think like, these are people that we could actually might like find the uniforms
in
their
house. I think it's just going
to be... They are that.
Right.
They just have money.
Right. And
I think what's going to happen is if, let's say when, just give everybody some hope on this Friday, when they are defeated, like when the forces of the
Vancouver's
center
nice
left to the left take... control of the levers of power, you know.
Was that in
mostly,
Jefferson's episode?
Mostly.
Sorry.
I think they're just going to continue to do what they're doing, and fight every. We're certainly not. No one talking now is going to be alive when they shift tactics.
Well,
or a shift strategy.
My point was, I just want to be clear, because about, you know, I'm not saying the fever is going to break. To me, that was naivete of Obama, who took a look and said, well, maybe a couple things will happen here. We'll win a couple elections, the fever will break, or I'll meet with them. My point is only on the side of the financial interests, if it's people who really do care about their bottom line. If it's costing them money, if they're losing enough elections,
dude,
big enough, then maybe they stop funding.
Listen, the Koch brothers don't threaten to stop funding because they think this is costing them money. They don't give a shit. I'm convinced half of the stuff that we see is not a function of like, I have interest in this and this and that. It's, I'm a billionaire. I live in a bubble that I think none of us can imagine. And I have this money that's on my dresser that I've collected for the last 3 months every time I empty the change out of my pockets. And I'm going to give this to that dude and say, do it. Get it done. Why? Because I want it. Because
I'm a billionaire, see?
Honestly,
how much money does it take to take away
honestly,
some goddamn Puerto Rican kids' health insurance?
I think, like, we try and impose our mode of thinking and our rationality on people who are living such a rarefied experience that it's like, it's almost as if we're trying to sort of get into the mind of like a talking... like a talking dog.
You're basically saying it's
like honestly,
it's like the. All right, I don't know about the talking dog.
I honestly think that like the idea of having people who are this powerful.
No, but you're saying it's like I the analogy that I'm drawing would be like, instead of thinking of it as, you know, this bet isn't playing off, we need to recalibrate. It's almost more analogous to like, I just spent like $1 million on a stallion, and the stallion lost the race. I'm angry. I'm gonna go shoot it in the head. Because
well,
that just pissed me off, and it doesn't make any difference
that's
to
different.
Me. That's the mentality you're describing.
Well, it's like people going to, you know, like, yeah, to
that
gamble and being
with.
Like, you know what? It doesn't matter if I lose this $100,000. I'm pissed about it, but I have $1 billion.
Well, no, it matters because I'm pissed.
Yes,
right.
And
exactly.
Because it embarrasses me that I did this.
Right.
But is no function, because that's the other end of this equation too, right? Is that there's an endless, like, mid-level, like some, like, who's the family that owned the Chicago Cubs?
What's their names?
They're another awful family.
They have the governor, governor of Nebraska is from that family.
And years ago, I wish I could remember their name, but years ago, there was like a story, I think in 2012 or maybe even before 2012. And it was like, they're going to fund the PAC campaign.
The Rickets.
The Rickets. Thank you. They're going to fund the PAC campaign that is going to do it to Obama what the Republicans couldn't do in 08. And it's going to be horrible.
Bill Ayers.
Exactly.
And this.
It was exactly. Yeah, literally. And you read it and you realize you're like, these consultants are fucking brilliant because they are totally
Was it Rick Wilson who's now is one of the ones pitching that to them?
I think it was Rick Wilson.
Which is funny because he's so anti-Trump.
But it's also not even like they're pitching it. They're at a dinner party.
No, but this is a big document that got released.
But this is the way it started.
And it was all the same stuff that had already happened. So they can get hustled easily.
They're going like, I really think that the problem is the Republicans didn't push Bill Ayers enough. And then somebody across the room is going like, you're absolutely right. In fact, I have a document. It's going to take me. I got to get back to my hotel and have it sent. They get there and they just furiously type it out, right. Send it in. That's where the money comes from. Yes. But these guys, honestly, this is Mortimer and what's his face and Trading Places.
Randolph.
They're just making a Randolph. They're making a bet and they're emotionally invested in it. But it's like a dollar to them. It's like a dollar.
I bet you that Valentine could run securities, Mortimer.
No. See, but my point is, I don't think they care about the bet. Because you're right. The bet for them is like a dollar. I'm saying if the long-term effect was they were losing billions by doing this, then I do think it would change
their behavior. But there is no way that those people are going to lose their billions.
Well, it would have to be from Democrats winning enough to put judges on courts that regulate the living shit out of like
or actual Democrats. Listen, though, that's the next part of the equation.
Bill Gates, Koch brothers, you can go down the list of all those billionaires. They're going to be billionaires. Their kids are going to be billionaires. Maybe their grandkids will go on a total binge and buy too many fur sinks and they won't be billionaires. But there's nothing.
Fur sinks?
Yes, there's nothing.
Is that a new thing?
No, that's what Steve Martin said when he got really wealthy. He was trying to find
out
how to burn
his
cash. Sinks,
that's kind of nice.
They're not going to lose their money. They can't. Do you understand? Like, they can't lose their money. Honestly, the only thing that would happen is like if you know, maybe if Michael gets to be president,
yeah, I was gonna say,
and he has enough people around him, although I'm not convinced that Michael wouldn't be like, whoa, wait a second.
I think it's time to rethink the estate tax.
Socialist.
Wait a second.
But
there's a lot of new ideas of
confiscatory tax on wealth, on existing wealth. They're not going. There's no way you can be aware that you can live your life in such a way that you can be aware if you have $65 billion that you've lost $30 billion. You can't even, there's no way unless someone comes and tells you and you look at the numbers, there is nothing that you are doing in your life.
No, I agree. But I think they have people that do come and tell them these things.
Well, that's true.
That would piss the hell out of them if that was true. But there's no policy on the table now, even under Bernie Sanders, that would jeopardize that level.
We shouldn't support right-wingers to do this. No, there is no answer for them.
Yeah. We've got to clamp down on the budget. We can't try to destroy the poor and the middle class anymore.
What's the solution to them getting more billions of dollars back at that point? Like, the only reason why they have it is because of this system. There is no change in strategy where it's like, we're going to continue to enrich ourselves by, supporting Medicare for all. I mean, it's
no, I know. I mean, I guess my point is that's why it would have to be that what they were doing was backfiring in such a way that it was hurting their financial interests. I mean, they were seeing it in front of them, right? In the way during the New Deal, there are people on the right whose funders whose hatred, of course, grew of FDR, but some of them walked away from politics because of what was going on. They would have to be so motivated in saying like, this is all backfiring. Let's just go to our own fucking island
that also the
and
left
spend all of
so
our money
strong.
And enjoy our lives.
But
wasn't
I would
that because
say,
the left was so strong, though, that they also had a perception that
FDR stood in and said, like, yeah. I'm between you and the pitchforks. Yes.
That type of thing.
Okay. But here's what I'm saying is that I'm saying that, A, because of the type of wealth we're talking about, there has been nothing analogous to the idea of 10 families or 20 families having this amount of money. It's true what you're talking about.
Well, 120 years ago, though.
No, nothing. I think maybe the closest.
Think J.P. Morgan and some of the Rockefellers.
No, no, I don't think it's even remotely close.
I'd have to look into.
I don't think it's even remotely.
I know there
close.
Were families back then. Obviously,
yeah, absolutely. But the idea of people walking around with $60 billion, that's what I'm saying. They're like a dog talking. The way that they have the ability to live a such a radically different life than the rest of us, like, there are no borders for these people.
I think
they don't come in and go through customs. They fly in. I know this for a fact.
Yes, no.
I can't tell you how I know.
It's documented.
Totally documented. Good sources.
No, you better tell us now.
I have a buddy who worked for a billionaire, and he
hold
said
on. I'm getting a text message right now. Make sure there's no camera angle on this.
He said to me, like, he said, you, and he's not obviously a left wing guy. He said to me, like, you can't imagine, like nothing that applies to us. Nothing.
Well, I mean, didn't Chris Rock even say that one point? He's like, if people knew how people like me live, there'd be a revolution.
And he's just a fucking millionaire.
He's just got like
Chris Rock
million.
Doesn't have the ability
right.
to call the president of a major university, dress them down, and have them do a 360 on any type of issue. Okay? And this is what this guy would do like at 2:15
right.
that day. And then I get something else at 2:30. And so they're living in such a rarefied way, and there is no other strategy for them to make money. Like, you're saying, like, if they find that this is failing, they're going to have to change what they do.
Not failing. If they're finding that
it's costing them money.
If there were the kind of political change like there was from the 20s when these guys were making that kind of money, again, we'd have to do a comparison and we'd have to adjust. But when you had these multimillionaires being created and multimillionaires in the 1920s was a pretty large amount of money.
Yes.
And where suddenly FDR came in and everything, you know, was in their faces. Now, there's some people who in that situation
walk away. Yes. But the other ones who didn't are the ones who were still seeing the vestiges
right.
of what they did.
You're right.
And there's a lot more.
My point wasn't definitively. My point was that's a situation where I could see it happening.
Yeah.
That's all I've been saying. Whereas otherwise, no, I don't know how else it happens.
Don't you think that if a dog could talk, they would support Medicare for All?
All right.
Depends. Does that include veterinarians or not?
I don't know. It's possible.
My second thing is I just got a hurry from
our next guest.
Okay, so. But do you remember Gar Alpovitz?
Yes.
Remember the
few of his books?
Yeah, he said he was at some lecture and he said, we haven't seen wealth accumulation like this and inequality since the medieval ages.
Yes.
And a medieval historian raised their hand and actually was like, well, that's incorrect because it did not. This exceeds the medieval.
I think the disparity could have been there. But the thing is that there was no upside. Like, there was no planes. Like, right. So you could have all this money, but your life couldn't be so dramatically different. Because
that to me is a more legit even argument is to say that having more money, you can buy things today. It saves you time and effort in a way it couldn't back then.
We will look this up, but I would bet everything I own that the top 10 richest in this country today are significantly more wealthy relative
to the median.
In the median or
well, that's
even
where you did a comparison with
any average, even the 95th percentile
right.
than they were back then.
So your percentile, you're saying?
I'm saying that, yeah, exactly. I'm saying that they're like talking dogs. Like, we have never seen this before.
He likes
analogy. Well, I don't want to keep changing.
I love dogs.
Right. So we're going to take a quick break.
I'm holding up.
Oh, wait. You know what? Oh, here. Stay with us, Cliff. I'm just going to call her right now.
Sweet.
Dogs are great. They would totally want everybody to be taken care of.
Oh, our next guest loves dogs.
Yeah.
I actually don't know if that's true.
I'm glad this is happening.
Should we play the Jimmy Reefer Cake song?
I'm sure some really.
Oh, you know what? We're
going to
have her on. Hold on.
About stuff.
I can think of some things that a dog, if extra money would help it do.
Okay, you got the phone up?
Yep.
All right, we're going to call her right now.
Wick yourself in some place.
Of course.
I'm just saying.
You needed to do it, huh?
Wait, hold on.
Judy, we're live.
Judy, we're live.
I know, but I got to put my headset in.
Okay.
Oh, is she listening?
Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm
is this the famous Judy Gold?
Kill someone. Hold on.
Was she listening?
It's possible.
Am I right about that?
It's the famous Judy. Ladies and gentlemen, let's see. This is the Judy Gold theme song.
It would be great if she went out around the old oak tree sets with this. That would be cool.
We're going to tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree.
Where does that
come from? All right, I'm here.
Well, it comes back from someone coming back from war, I think, actually.
I think I hear her saying she's here.
Judy Gold, welcome to the show. We have, it's a total sausage fest here. Myself, Matt, Cliff, Michael, that's it for now.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Judy.
Okay, that's fine.
How's your week going, Judy?
Everything's great. Like Monday, like it all started out really, really well. I'm just think everything's going great in the country. I think that I just walked down the street. Everyone's so happy and helpful to one another, and they're such a good fucking asshole. I hate him so. I can't. Can I tell you something? I can't. This is the worst. This is the worst week I've had. I can't with the Vegas shooting. Like, they should have a fucking. This is the wall they should build. A wall of dead bodies around fucking Wayne LaPierre's fucking house. Okay.
I'd like to be a part of building that wall.
It's horrible. Well, it's
not with
what happened.
The current.
Do you want to know why his slogan is "Make America Great Again"? Because that's what we're going to have to do after he fucking leaves.
Make America Great Again in 10 years.
You guys are going to have a lot of work to do. It's going to take a lot of teamwork.
Okay,
you got to break some eggs to make America great again.
I'm going to give you. Okay, shut the fuck up. I'm going to give you my bullet points of. The Vegas shooting did me in. I mean, not like the families of the people who died, but like, can't stop thinking about it. Can't stop hearing those shots. Okay. The fucking Steve Scalise, you fucking asshole. A lesbian got on top of your body, was going to take a bullet for you, and yet you're going to go speak to an anti-LGBTQ or STUBWXYZ group.
Can I just add a black lesbian, and you built your career on saying you're David Duke without the baggage as well.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
I never had much sympathy for that guy. It's less now.
This Puerto Rico, you fucking piece of crap. You throw fucking paper towels at people like they're fucking dogs. Get waiting for a bone. You're a fucking asshole, okay? And how dare you with the San Juan mayor? She's begging and pleading, standing in water full of shit. And you're like, hey, it's fucking great. Fuck you. Fuck. I can't.
Are you at your therapist's office?
Are you at like Where a deli?
No, I'm at my podcast. I just finished my podcast. And the fact that how did he get away with this shit? Why isn't there one Republican, one, that says, okay, guys, we're done. This is fucking ridiculous, okay? Party smarty, okay? It's called the country.
This is who the Republicans are. All right, I want to play this video for you. Can we do it?
Go.
All right.
You're playing a video?
It's an audio. It's an audio. It's not. It's the video is not as important as the audio,
right?
And I just
go.
Is there anybody else in the studio with you right now, Judy?
Yes, and I'm telling them to shut up.
Well, no, I'm not concerned about the noise. I just want there to be someone there to if it's necessary to call the paramedics. This is Donald Trump.
They're playing something for me, so shut up.
You don't even have to be quiet as much as like. I just want there to be people around just in case.
Okay.
I like how you treat your employees,
Judy. They want
people
around me in case I fucking have a heart attack. Go ahead.
So last night, I don't know if you know this story.
Last night,
but the press was hastily brought in to this meeting, really this dinner that Donald Trump is having with military personnel. And listen to what he had to say now that he's arrayed all these military personnel around him.
I don't know if
him.
She can take this.
You guys know what this represents?
Tell us, sir.
Maybe it's the calm before the storm.
What's the storm?
Could be the calm. The calm before the storm.
What's the storm?
We have the world's great military people in this room. I will tell you that. And we're going to have a great evening. Thank you all for coming.
What storm is the president?
You'll find out.
Give us a hint.
Fuck you!
Thank you, everybody.
See the look Melania gave him, too?
Yeah, I read about this. You think I didn't know about this? The calm before the storm?
I mean...
Now he's going to start a nuclear fucking war? He's going to start a fucking nuclear war because his penis is the fucking size of my fucking pinky nail?
Nail.
Fuck you.
Oh, I like that.
It is... I mean, it's amazing. Like, if there's... Look, there's either something big that's going to happen or there's not.
Right.
In either scenario... It is psychotic. It is psychotic.
He is psychotic. And you don't say shit like that. You don't say shit like that. You just don't say it.
And the look on the military people around him, where it's like, this guy is just reveling in the idea that, and look, you know, I don't know if it's, they've already announced that they're, you know, getting out of the Iran deal. Maybe he's going to fire. Maybe he's going to fire Tillerson. And there's supposedly this suicide pact with Tillerson and Mattis. And Mattis and maybe McMaster and Kelly. And maybe there's going to be a whole house cleaning.
That was a shitty movie the first time around.
Exactly. I mean, or.
Mnuchin made it.
Or maybe.
And Harvey Weinstein can do the movie. Yeah.
To be fair, Obama did say stuff like that all the time.
Yeah. You know? I mean,
it was a calm before the storm.
I think he said that the night that they killed bin Laden.
Oh, he did.
Calm before the storm.
I mean,
I see a lot of sad fake news people
come
here.
Out and go, hey, guys, you know what? It's a calm before the storm. I'm not telling you what I'm talking about.
But honestly, like,
are you talking about Iran, Mr. Obama? Yeah. You'll see.
First of all, of course, there's no birth control. We can't even get to Obamacare and what he's done today to that.
Yeah.
But he is so provocative. A fucking infant. He's a fucking toddler out of fucking control with mental health issues that are destructive to other human beings. And he's got to get out, and someone's got to fucking stop this shit already.
Well, but here's the problem, okay?
Fuck.
I mean, like, let's, you know, for a while, the country went through this thing of like, okay, he's the benign, bumbling, horrible human being.
Right.
That,
he's
harmless because he's so stupid. But, you know, at one point, the idea that we could reach some type of inflection point where it's like, okay, he says, we're going to launch an attack on North Korea.
Right.
Screw it. The guy's an asshole. We're just going to do it. Let's stop letting it hang around our heads or whatever. Now, one of two things happen. One, he does it, and it's horrific and causes millions of people to die.
Soul no longer exists.
And you know, basically, America is the United States, continental United States. Fine. There's nothing they have that can reach us. Maybe they have some type of like sleeper cell where somebody comes. Maybe I don't know why.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
He's been dying. He has been dying. Remember when he had his first meeting and they said, oh, my God, he asked four times about nuclear weapons. You know what? We're not playing Battleship, fuckhead.
Well, that's the thing is, I don't think he has the ability. I mean, that was the thing about Puerto Rico that really sort of scared me, is that if this guy is there on the ground and has so little self-awareness, not even self-awareness, situational awareness.
He's too dumb. Yeah.
That he clearly cannot assess, you know, what human suffering is, that. He may not just may not mean to him but what it does to a normal human being.
I think there's no doubt about that. But can I just say, and not to be like a downer, but, you know, Republicans intervening. Lindsey Graham said a month ago, we played it on the show, not only, I mean, arguably worse than Trump about North Korea.
Well, it's not Lindsey Graham,
right? Choreographed, if there's going to be an issue, we'll take care of it there. He said that publicly on Fox News. Right. And he's supposedly a quote-unquote sane guy. He's working to take away people's health care.
Lindsey Graham could definitely be one of those guys who are like, we're going to scare the hell out of him and this and that.
I know
there are people in the White House who will keep him from doing this.
Right.
So let's do the other scenario where there are people in the White House who will stop Trump from doing it. They will stop. It will stop Trump from doing it. Mr. President, I under Article 25 of the 25th Amendment of the Constitution, I hereby, you know, here's
the
Vice
President. You're gonna, Mr. President, or whatever, there's a hotel or
some
destroyed
type of military coup that people sort of want. Like, what happens then? Like, is there some anticipation that, like, you know, John Kelly's going to step in and then, like, who does he decide is going to be president then? Like, what happens in that scenario?
Right.
I mean, honestly, like,
right.
You know, not gaming this out, there is no, the best we can hope for is that, like,
maybe they pull like a Yuri Andropov thing. Remember that guy was like dead for like a year and a half in Russia. Nobody knew who was leading.
I was just going to say, like,
we should just lock Trump in a fucking room with no access
like
to anything.
What we do with
including
you know,
food or
like,
water,
like the fantasy for like parents of toddlers is we just a lot of Benadryl. Just a lot of Benadryl. And maybe like 2.5 years later, 3 years later, maybe we could just get to like the 18 election.
Guys, I'm finally going to nuke it. I'm doing it. Mr. President, did you see the new ratings for Schwarzenegger on The Apprentice? Terrible. Oh, my God. I have something else to do now.
Or it's more just like, here's a glass of milk. It's like, I'm so sleepy. I bombed them when I wake up.
Please. Hello.
Yeah.
Here's my question. Why is it that Clinton gets a blowjob, okay, and he gets impeached over a fucking blowjob, and this fucking asshole continues his reign of terror? Like, how does this fucking happen?
Republican Party. Republican Party.
Broken.
Period. End of... I mean, no, it's not. Our system is broken. The Republican Party was in power then, and they're in power now.
Right. I'm fucking going to lose my fucking mind. I can't. It's like every day I wake up wondering what the fuck, the calm before the storm. Like, shut the fuck up. Stop. And fuck that penis Pence. I hate him.
I mean, it's like the whole country is held hostage. And let me reiterate, it is much worse. Talk about being held hostage. It's like we're held hostage like on the down, like on the basement. And then, you know, like if you're a dreamer, you're on the first floor and they've got the gun to your head and they're yelling out at the cops.
Right.
We're just down waiting to see if we're next, you know, if we start hearing guns firing, essentially.
By we, do you mean Jews?
Right.
No, I mean just, frankly, the white guys here in this office will be like, we're down in like the basement, then the back storeroom, and then actually we're in the sort of the
we're doing okay.
We're in the green room.
I mean, to be honest,
we're in
with
the
you,
green
frankly,
room.
It's a pretty good.
The green room behind the storage room behind the thing. We're not on stage.
You know what I did think was sort of more kind of funny in a sick way was if you took the most charitable interpretation of Trump, which I never do, which is that he's doing what he's doing it himself. Like, I'll be a crazy guy on Twitter. That's Nixon, right? Like some that idea got planted in his head. And then he did that leak to Politico like a week ago where it's like everybody in his staff being like, he wants to be seen as crazy. It was just like, great.
Well,
like I think Koreans have like the capacity to read articles in Politico.
They can pull up Politico.
It's like, right.
Probably. Yeah.
And I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who has family in Japan. And he's like, they are scared of us.
What,
not North Korea, man.
Right.
Like that. We're the ones who will disrupt that balance.
How many millions of people live in Seoul? Like 10? I don't know. Can
you
imagine living in Seoul right now?
You go back. We had Heather Hilbert on this show in January, I think it was, maybe in lead up. And after that conversation, when she was talking about foreign policy, I think like the end of it was just like the issue is really not that the world is unpredictable now. The issue is that we're not predictable. And that's a much greater danger. And it's true.
But also, it's the way they normalize him. Like even Tillerson with his bullshit. I've learned from this president that he cares a lot about. No, you haven't. No, you
That's
haven't
a great
learned
Tillerson.
That. Okay.
That is. Could
you
do
what
that
I know
more?
About this guy.
Wait, do more.
I'll tell you what I know about him. I'll tell you what I know about him.
Yeah, what do you know about him?
He loves his country. He wants things done. He gets it. No, you don't. You're a fucking liar. He's a fucking idiot. He doesn't love this country. He loves his fucking bank account. He's a fucking asshole.
In fact, there was a story in the Washington Post. The story in the Washington Post that said that one of the problems the president had was that Tillerson went around thinking that his job was to make the United States look good instead of making Donald Trump look good.
This guy doesn't get the job. It's amazing.
My secretary. Hello.
But they also...
You're my secretary. You're supposed to make me coffee and do things for me. Get things done.
It's like, you remember Anne at the old office? She knew what... Imagine if her job was to help Manhattan real estate instead of me. It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense.
What I've learned from this man, I'll tell you what I learned from him. I'll tell you what I learned. I learned he has a small penis. I learned that
wants to have
he
sex
loves
with his daughter.
Small penis. And when he wants something done, he gets it done. He is a man who loves this country, loves it. Fuck you! You're fucking shut the fuck up! And of course he says, they're like, did you call him a moron? I'm not going to get into that petty stuff. I'm not going to get. Of course I did. Of course I called him a moron. He is a moron. Okay? And that's what I learned. I got to go back. I got to go take my hair, and I got to comb it back. I got to go comb my hair back.
Called him a fucking moron, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that
moron.
Yeah. Can't say
I can. I mean, this guy is sick. Why isn't the 25th Amendment? Why?
Well, because they think they can get tax cuts.
Deregulation. That too.
Yeah. Well, they'll get deregulation. They'll get deregulation with Pence, right? It's just like if they get rid of Trump, it's just going to screw things up too much. It's going to start a process. It's going to be too long to unwind.
Right. And it will still piss off that 35% that is in his
and
cult.
And then crazy Gorsuch judges too.
The Republican base.
Right. Oh, he's horrible. He gave a speech at the Trump. Wait, Michelle Wilkerson just tweeted that her 84-year-old mother is in the car and they're listening, and she said, I had a potty mouth. Sorry, Miss Michelle's mother. I just get very, I'm from New Jersey, and I get very passionate, and I start cursing.
Yes.
Anyway, but listen, Mueller has got stuff on penis head. Pence, penis head. They're all horrible. I mean, this Mueller stuff is taking a little too long, even though I'm sure it's very accurate and thorough. But what's going to happen when that comes out? The Republicans are going to say, well, I don't think this is impeachable.
Yes.
Okay. it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
What happens to the
country?
Let me ask you this.
I can't believe it.
What happens after we go through this? I mean, this has been now 9 months of this, 10 months. What happens?
Right.
Give the full count, man. Don't take a month.
Ten months.
Okay.
And we have, I mean, assuming, he's alive or we're all alive. And I think we have another, let's see, 48 months. We have another 38 months of this. What happens to the country? Like, we're like the
first of all, what are we at here? We're at 9 months?
Nine and a half months, really. It was January 20th.
10 months. Let's just say that, please.
Look. Okay.
Too late to abort him.
I mean, look at what has happened to our standing in the world. Look how many people he has pissed off. Look at the crap he has said about Gold Star family. Like, how is he? Anyone else would be out of a fucking job. Anyone else behave like this in any other job, they'd be fired. They'd be fucking fired. Why is he still here? Why?
No. Republicans. I mean, honestly.
How did he get away with this? Where is the one Republican? Where is he or she to say, look, this is ridiculous. That, you know, it's, I don't care that I'm a Republican. I mean, they're all, how about having, they're all like, oh, a lot of them are abandoning him and blah, 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 blah. You know, no, they're not.
Well, first off, like, even the ones who are resigning are like, I've got to have a job afterwards. I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to go too far out.
Brother's got to eat. I need $500,000
lobbying.
MSNBC doesn't have any more contributor slots, so I've got to figure out something else to do with lobbying.
Trump at ground zero of the nuclear holocaust. Like, great turnout. It's been quite an event, and I think many people would say in a certain sense that this was unprecedented.
I managed to outlive over 3/4 of the world.
A lot of people were trying to live. They said, did not live as long as I did, and I thought I did a great job.
You're not healthy. You don't eat a healthy way. But look, I've outlived most people.
I think that is, if we're just trying to like even just be sort of like actuarial or scientific here, like a rage spasm and a fast food meal. Right. Might be the saving grace of a civilization that is in like late.
Really, I'm listening
to History of Rome podcast now. I just started it, and it's like,
is it good?
It's really good, and you know, analogies can get shaky, but like, we're just doing that. Like, in some ways, like we're just doing that.
Let me tell you what I've learned. Let me tell you what I've learned right now from this. Okay. I've learned that you all love the country, that you all have 6 senses of humor. I've learned that when you want to talk about a topic on your show, you'll talk about it. I've learned that, and I don't get into petty things. I'm not Tom Petty.
Gosh.
Can I just say something?
One more sad thing. Yeah.
You know that they all go in to his office or whatever and are like, okay, you know, they have like a meeting before they go in, like, yes. Okay, you just don't say anything. You say this, you say that, and then let's leave. You know, that's how they I'm sure they have meetings like, all right, we have to tell him blank, blank, and blank, just ignore him. And then, you know, it's like when you go and visit, you're like your mother, your elderly mother or something. And it's like, don't bring this up. Don't bring that up. That's like, he doesn't read. They go in, they tell him what's going on. He doesn't listen to any of the facts. Like, he's destroying this country. Anyone who fucking defends him is out of their fucking minds. So
I shouldn't add fuel to the fire, but did you see I'm sure you saw the throwing paper towels at people in Puerto Rico, which actually
started.
You mentioned that.
Like,
right.
He's out of it's like those fucking cheerleaders at the fucking,
it was
like,
sending the t-shirts into the stands.
Yes, it was disgusting. Yeah. But did you see the he had a brief exchange with a woman. He was handing out a water filtration system. And he's like,
right. Iodine pill.
Did you see that? Iodine pill, right, excuse me. Did you see that? And he's like, yeah, and then you put it in the dirty water and you drink it? And she's like, yeah. And he kind of looks at her like, okay. That's
weird.
Would you drink it? It was, I mean, I don't know why that struck me so much, but it was fucked up.
Because he's so stupid. He's so you drink the fucking water. How about doing that in Flint, you fucking fat ass? And also, can I say something? What about when he said to them, have a good time? Are you fucking mental? Have a good time?
I think tourism and Seoul is going to skyrocket after we do this. Have a good time.
Have a good time. He says that to people of Puerto Rico. Have a good time.
That's what Obama said after the BP spill.
Enjoy it.
Everybody's enjoying themselves. Everybody in Jersey after Sandy having a good time. Great crowds, am I right? The failing New York Times won't report that.
Look at this.
You know what's fucked up is Obama actually
in South Korea.
You know what's so fucked up is Obama actually could have legitimately been like, well, that's Fox. That's fake news. Like, right. Yes.
Well, they did. They did actually start out a little bit like that. A little bit at the beginning of their.
But he has said, and that Fox and Friends is the best morning show. even if you're the whittiest right-wing Republican, you know that that's not the best fucking morning talk show, okay?
Yeah, no.
Who's your favorite of those three?
The paper towels, that, and the way he was throwing it, did you see how he was throwing it? Like, he's like, knows how to fucking play basketball.
Yeah.
He's throwing it, like, tossing it, like, hey, yeah, oh, I'm so cool. Like, they're not, they're human beings without fucking homes, you fucking asshole.
I know, and I gave them towels.
And what about how he's blaming them?
Never get credit. Never get credit. Never get credit.
Show your taxes.
We won't tell you that. Oh, look, she's homeless. An 8.5. Give her two paper towels.
There's a hot human.
I want to know, were the paper towels the kind that you do the half a paper towel? You know what I mean? You know, sometimes you do.
And what do people use these for? The towels? What do they use them for?
Were they pick a size paper towels?
Fold them over. They last longer.
What do they do? What do they use these for? What about, why am I giving these out? Whatever. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Do Puerto Rican people even use bathrooms? My dad had a lot of ideas about Puerto Ricans. Anyways, there's something called budget.
What a prick.
How's everything else, though?
All right. Shut the fuck up. I was really 2 days of, like, I can't, you know, the Las Vegas thing.
I know.
It's so upsetting.
It's
so upsetting. Now's not the time to talk about it. Shut your fucking mouth, okay? It's exactly that. It should be. We should be talking about it and talking about it. You killed little kids who went to fucking school, and you did nothing. Okay? Fuck you.
I don't think it's the right time to talk about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Hold on. Wait. We got something.
Did something just happen?
I'm just gonna tell you something right now. I'm gonna just tell you something right now. Yeah. Go ahead.
Matt is.
Wait, can you actually do the reenactment of Tillerson actually calling him a fucking moron?
Okay, ready?
Yes, please.
All right, so you have to say, did you hear
the president,
Boy Scout speech?
Did you watch the Boy Scout speech, Mr. Secretary?
I watched it. He's a fucking moron. Let me tell you something. I was head of the Boy Scouts. This guy's a fucking moron. Okay, I was a Boy Scout. I'm a Boy Scout. I was head of the Boy Scouts. He is. Can I say it again? He's a fucking moron. He's a fucking moron. I got this fucking job. I loved being head of ExxonMobil. That was my. That's what I'm meant to be. This guy's a fucking moron.
You know, and there's
moron.
There's
Hold
a great.
Here is Trump. What is this, Matt?
He says Puerto Rico with an affected accent.
Oh, here is.
All right. I have to hang up in a minute. Go
okay.
Ahead.
All right. Here's Trump. Trying to pronounce Puerto Rico as if he has some affinity for Puerto Rico. Here he is.
We are also praying for the people of Puerto Rico.
Oh.
We love Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico.
Oh.
And we also love
My.
Puerto Rico.
Jesus Christ. He's sick. He's demented, right? Like, I mean, this is it.
Puerto
this is like,
Rico. He can't even fucking.
It's hilarious,
fuck you.
But you say it with the accent and they're drowning.
Honestly, the.
Speedy Gonzalez, not from Puerto Rico. A lot of people think he was, but he was from, well, in fact, he was from Mexico and he crossed the border.
Can you imagine
illegally.
What goes through Melania Trump's mind? I mean, I would just like,
not have sympathy for her.
Oh, no, no. I'm not having sympathy for her. I'm just wondering, like, what if she sits there and just like, how many times a day does she sort of contemplate, like, what, you know, did I miss my opportunity?
I think she honestly was like, this was the time that I was planning on divorcing him, and I did not anticipate
right.
that.
But I wonder.
She stands there. Okay, first of all, she has her pants up to her tits. Literally. It's like.
Aren't those tit pants?
Like,
those are big these days.
They're tit pants. They're called tit pants. But
called tite pants in Puerto Rico.
And just follow. And he. What about when he introduced her? Remember, I want to introduce my wife And then he shakes her hand.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? He's like, I can't. What? She.
She won't let me touch. She won't let my mouth touch her body now. So.
Remember when Obama was just like, where the fuck's Michelle? Oh, there you are.
If it is the case. Give me a handshake. If it is the case that Melania thought, like, this is the time I would divorce him. And now it's quite possible she loves him and that he really fulfills her.
No, it's not possible. It's not possible. That's not possible.
No, look, anything's possible.
She does not love him. No one loves him.
But it's also possible that she finds him odious and distasteful and is
disgusting and grotesque.
And forced to be around him. Like, you wonder what, like, fantasies, I don't mean like, you know, sexual fantasies, like, what goes through her mind as she's just looking at him, having forced to be in such close proximity to someone that she could hate? I mean, it's conceivable that every potential weapon, every possible like way that one could perish.
Maybe that's how
it just goes through her mind. Like just like today, I'm only going to think of potential ways that one could die that start with the letter R. And that's all it goes
through. I don't think she wants to die. I think she wants to kill him.
Well, that's what I'm
saying. I think that's what he's implying.
That's what I'm implying, but I don't want to get...
Sorry.
I'm just saying that...
Yeah.
It's
you don't want to get in trouble?
Like,
okay.
She could be,
but that's fine.
Rototiller. Like, how would it happen if a rototiller was involved? How would it happen if it was a rug? How would it happen with a wrench?
First of all, she doesn't know a lot of things could happen with this particular group of people, because a lot of them are quite mentally off. And if there was going to be like some type of office rage incident, this would be the White House where it would happen.
Rancid cheese. Like all the different ways that one could possibly... rat poison.
All right. Pull out one of those, like, that's... Isn't
there's
that
gotta
Warren
be.
Harding
he's gotta choke on something. It's gotta be, like... Mm-hmm.
That's what they say.
I don't know. I just, you know, it's... all right. I gotta go.
All right.
I'm so upset now.
Well, Judy...
but it's fine.
I was hoping
ride
this,
my bike.
I hope
let
I
me
was,
tell you something.
I was hoping this was going to be as cathartic for you as I know that it has been for a lot of people listening.
It was very cathartic. I don't know how much longer we all can take of this shit. And these, you know, like, does anyone have any integrity? Like, even I just
no.
Like, I can't Rex Tillerson, like, even have to say, like, he bullied him into saying, I want to stop this before it starts, okay? Let me tell you something, none of this happened. No, it didn't happen. I'm going to stop it right now because I got a call from him. He was screaming, and I got to do it. I got to go. I got to go. I got to run. I got to run. I got to run. Okay. Anyway,
Judy,
have to pee. And
Judy, we love you. Thank you so much for coming on.
This was
on.
Good. This was good.
You're
I feel
best.
Good. I feel like I got a lot of shit out.
Yes. Well, I'm sure.
I miss you guys.
Sure, he will.
Why can't I come into the studio?
Of course you can.
Come into the studio.
Judy, you can come into the studio any day of the week.
Okay, I'm in. Oh, my God. And they're all white men. They're all white men. Look at his cabinet. All white men. Except for Ben, whatever, fucking asshole.
I'm doing a really good job, Judy. I have a health supplement that could turn you straight if you're interested.
All right, listen. Love you.
Love you, too.
Please
hang in.
Let us be alive next week.
More importantly, I think,
I'm going
let,
to
you
the
know,
bathroom.
Let there be the Korean people.
Let her go to the bathroom, man.
All right.
Thank
bye,
you, Judy.
Judy.
All right. I love you all.
Judy
bye.
Gold, ladies
God
and
bless America. Bye-bye.
Judy Gold. Judy. Oh, we could have had Milo sing God Bless America.
Oh, God. This is turning into a real brutal Friday, man. Jesus Christ. We're in the void.
Here is... just briefly, and then we'll go to Jimmy Reefer Cake, and then we'll take it to the fun half. For those who are concerned that the president really does believe something is the calm before the storm, that there is a storm coming, you will be somewhat relieved to know that according to Jonathan Swan, who was on MSNBC, Jonathan Swan works for Axios, you'll be somewhat relieved to know that the president is just a psychopath and that there is really nothing planned.
How do you interpret the calm before the storm? I mean, clearly this is part of the president's love for drama and reality TV. I mean, primetime TV straight out of The Apprentice. Tune in tomorrow.
Well, obviously, I don't have any insight into what classified military actions may or may not being contemplated, but I think there's a high degree of probability that he is trolling everyone. And in fact, I was talking to a senior official last night, somebody who I should stress is not on the NSC, who would not be privy to any covert operations. And they started laughing, saying, don't you get it? He's just trolling all of you. But of course, it's trolling with very serious consequences.
Well, the amazing thing about this is that let's just for the moment assume this person who probably wouldn't know is right. There's a mentality in the administration that comes from the rotten fish or fish head that like
fish rats from the tap.
They're just playing with the press. Like there's no American public. That when they do this stuff with Dreamers, there's no actual people on the other end.
Right.
When they go out there and complain about Puerto Rico, when he complains that Puerto Rico is not grateful enough, that he's not actually talking about 1.5 million Americans who are without drinking water. Now, let me just put an asterisk next to that. We don't know at this point. That was the last figure we had because FEMA has now decided to stop reporting on how many people in Puerto Rico are without electricity or without water. They've scrubbed it from their website, and they're not doing it. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
But can I say something here? Here's the thing. I know he's trolling us because that's all he ever fucking does. I mean, the thing is that people try to, I love people try to analyze and say, oh my God, he must have this plan or that plan. This guy never thinks more than 5 seconds ahead of time. He really doesn't. And he probably thought, oh my God, this is a cool thing to say. And it popped in his head and he just,
I don't know.
Out.
They brought the press in when they weren't initially going to do it. A, B, he's not trolling us. He thinks he's trolling the media. Like there's
well,
no,
Sam, you're the media man.
Well, okay. But he thinks he's trolling the media, not that the American public is whatever. Like it doesn't
they
matter that
it.
Your president's saying like, I might bomb, I might not
right.
bomb.
I'm just saying he's proven to always be completely full of crap on everything, and he doesn't think ahead of time. He just spurts stuff out. So you know that to me is what it doesn't mean we won't actually bomb North Korea at some point. I don't believe that there was anything behind that statement other than his being the usual moron that he is.
I hope you're right. All right. With that said, we have a song from Jimmy Reefer Cake. What is the name of the Jimmy Reefer Cake song of the day?
They Don't Know How It Feels. R.I.P. So, Tom Petty.
All right. So it's choice. A Tom Petty one. And then we'll come out of it and then we'll just go into the fun half. I should just tell you, this program relies on its members for its existence. If you have the financial means and you want the extra content, even if you don't want the extra content, become a member today. Go to jointhemajorityreport.com. Your support is what makes this show possible. Just coffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. Also, Majority Report kickback.com. If you buy your stuff through Amazon or jet.com, do it there through our links. We get a kickback. Don't forget TMBS episode this week. ContraPoint is on it. You can find it on YouTube or on your iTunes. Also, Unprecedented podcast. Find it on YouTube or on iTunes
that's
or
right.
at Unprecedented or Patreon.
Yeah, well, that's the other one. www.patreon.com/unprecedentedpodcast.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but first, the Jimmy Reefer Cake song of the week. It is an homage, I think, to Tom Petty, who passed away this week.
Las Vegas news made me cry, and the next day Tom Petty died. Look at Trumpy talking so foul. Look at Trump throwing paper towels. So let's get to the point. Let's roll another joint. Trumpy tweets in the night. Starts another distracting fight. Trump don't know how it feels. Oh, Trump don't know how it feels to be Puerto Rican. Yeah. To be Puerto Rican. Yeah. Obama came, how Obama had to go. Obama was young and Trumpy is old. Fox News geezer. Hillary had her fun, but all we can say now is Bernie would have won. Bernie would have won. Bernie would have won. Bernie would have won. Let's get to the point. Let's roll another joint. The Republicans are talking loud, and the NRA is still proud. They don't know how it feels. No, they don't know how it feels to be you or me. Yeah. To be you or me. Or Puerto Rican or Korean or anybody, anybody, anybody.
Jimmy Reefer Cake, ladies and gentlemen. Jimmy Reefer Cake. Quite the homage to...
He was also on your theme of they don't know what it, how it feels.
That's true. The lack of empathy. There's a lot there. I may have to go back and re-listen to that one to absorb it all.
It's a very genuine right. Tom Petty fan right there.
Yeah. Tom Petty was great.
It was pretty awesome, yeah.
I think rather underrated, to be honest with you. I mean, he's well-rated, but he's underrated. A fairly unique place, I think, in American rock. All right, folks, see you in the fun half.